It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Sharon Dixon is a living Milwaukee legend. In 1975, Sharon founded The Sugar Shack, Milwaukee's first bar for women, owned by women.
Sharon went on to own many other popular LGBTQ women's bars and clubs in Milwaukee.
But in 2023, Studio 200, which was her home and business, was sold and demolished after she unknowingly signed it away. At age 73, Sharon was living on the street.
Now, after decades of Sharon taking care of Milwaukee's LGBTQ community, they're coming together to take care of her.
The Wisconsin LGBTQ History Project recently held a tribute and fundraiser for Sharon at La Cage nightclub in Milwaukee. Here's what guests had to say about Sharon and her bars.
I just felt so at home there. I could dance there because there was good music to dance to. There's no words. No words. She just knows the love we have for her.
Sharon, thank you very much for, like, kicking us out only for a weekend when we were bad, but welcoming us back into the fold again.
I don't think I'd be where I am today. I met my wife and danced the first dance at Sharon's Fanny's, and we've been together 31 years.
Well, ever since I've known her, you know, she was always more than giving.
She sponsored me when I ran for Ms. Gay Wisconsin in 1983. They never had it after that, so I'm still the reigning Ms. Gay Wisconsin.
Last week, I talked to Sharon and her friend, Jessica Fenner. Sharon told me about leaving her hometown of Hurley at age 14 and coming to the city of Milwaukee.
It was different. It took me an adjustment because Milwaukee is like a big city compared to my little two cities up there that were like, together there was probably 10,000 people. It wasn't scary for me because, you know, my dad taught us how to go hunting or protect ourselves and stuff like that, because a lot of the time we lived out on Lake Road, right across the street from Lake Superior. So we did a lot of fishing and hunting.
So there you were in Milwaukee. You were 14 years old, as I understand it, no place to live. What was it like for you as a young teen in Milwaukee on your own?
In those days on the Avenue, they had some theaters. And one of them, I didn't realize, probably because of my youth, I didn't realize it was an X-rated theater. We didn't have any of those up north. And all I knew, it was cheap. It was like a quarter to get in. And so I spent a few nights in and out of there for a quarter. That couldn't beat that price.
Jessica, we're getting a sense of Sharon here. How do you describe Sharon to someone who's maybe never met her?
Oh, she's as tough as nails with a heart of gold. And she would give the shirt off her back to help the people that she loves in her community.
And Sharon, you eventually end up opening your first bar. Can you talk about what led to that and what you and your then partner wanted to do with the Sugar Shack?
Let's see. Sugar Shack was the first lesbian bar opened in Milwaukee by two gay women. The bars were always owned by like some old guy or something that, I don't know. They weren't too bad, I guess. They gave us a place to go. But I just thought it would be fun. And I talked to Joe about it. And she said, is that what you really want to do? I said, yeah, let's open a bar. And yeah, it worked out pretty good. We had a lot of loyal base that came in there. And we had some guys, too. It wasn't just women, but it was known as a bar owned and operated by women for women. That was the slogan. And some of the guys kind of took it wrong. They were like, oh, you don't like men. I said, I like men, as long as they keep their paws off me.
So Sharon, you'd come to Milwaukee again by yourself, and now you open the Sugar Shack and later bars. Were you trying to provide a service, like to have a community center in effect for people in Milwaukee?
Well, yeah, kind of especially for women, because they're truly wasn't back in those days any place for women to hang out and feel safe, you know. It was just real different. So we formed some different little things at the bar for women to do, and eventually had men get involved, like with the softball leagues and stuff like that, pool leagues. And when they found out that we weren't mean old ladies in there, or mean young ladies. And we had a good rapport with the police down in that area, the second district, because in those days it was nothing for a bunch of kids, usually college age, that would come in and want to pick on the lesbians or any woman that was in there. And if there was a guy in there, they were even worse with the guy, because it was a fun thing to go and hassle a gay bar. Yeah. But we all stood up for ourselves. It was funny, they made a mistake of saying that, maybe we should just tear this place apart. And I looked at Joe, and Joe looked at me, and then the girls started collecting around us and said, well, you might have a hard time doing that. So that was pretty cool.
Jessica, being from a later generation than Sharon, what does it mean to hear these stories and look back at the role that her efforts, her bars and clubs meant for Milwaukee's LGBTQ community?
It's been amazing to learn her history and her role in the community, actually, because when Sharon and I got to know each other in about 2011 or 2012, it was really from a music venue owner perspective. It just sort of came out little by little, and hearing from other people as I had people coming to my music events who knew Sharon from previous years, from before I had known her, that I began to understand who she had been in the community and what she meant to so many people, and really how much of a pioneer she had been.
Jessica, you worked with Sharon hosting events at Studio 200 for about 6 years, but near the end of 2023, Sharon lost her home and business there. What happened there, Jessica?
Well, COVID, you know, was the first thing that became problematic and obviously shut down the music business. And so people like me, I think, were in a better situation than people like Sharon, because we were tech savvy and able to take advantage of the programming and funding that was available. That was the first area of concern. And I became quite in touch with Sharon during the whole lockdown and those couple of years, and seeing some of the struggle there and some of the decline also just with isolation. And then what happened was that basically Sharon was evicted from Studio 200, which is where we had been doing shows and where Sharon was living in the upstairs apartment at the time. And that had been her home for many years. The building had, unbeknownst to her, been signed over to someone else. And that had happened with some paperwork that wasn't clear. And she found herself served with an eviction notice. And so a couple of other close friends and myself came up and helped her put things into storage and get her to a hotel. And a couple of people were trying to help her find HUD housing at the time. And then after that, what we really found was just a real gap in the so-called safety net that social services is supposed to provide. And Sharon was regularly hearing that her worker would help her find housing. Months went by, and eventually Sharon's savings were running out. And she went from, you know, being able to stay in cheap hotels and motels full time to deciding to sleep on the streets, because she had done this as a 14-year-old. She thought, you know, hey, I can do this again. As I mentioned earlier, tough as nails, which happened when I was out of the country and didn't realize that was the situation.
The only thing is, I I always thought of myself as never really getting old. And then I found out I was wrong. Yeah, you were actually kind of like a lifesaver.
That was Sharon Dixon, longtime advocate for Milwaukee's LGBTQ community. We also heard from her friend Jessica Fenner.
Sharon said she was deeply touched by seeing people show up at her celebration in Milwaukee last month.
Producer Beatrice Lawrence brought us more scenes from that day at Lacage Nightclub.
The main event featured performances, and Beatrice says the energy in the packed room was joyful, playful, and nostalgic. Attendees expressed their gratitude for what Sharon had done for them. Let's listen.
Hey, ladies. We're going to start the show. How's that sound? Good. Y'all ready to raise some money?
I am a woman. Hear me roar in numbers too big to ignore.
I'm Diane Gregory. I'm a board member of the Wisconsin LGBT History Project. And this is to take care of our elders. In 1975, she opened up Sugar Shack, and that was the first time a women's bar in the city was owned by a woman. So that was her big thing in this community, and she was a caretaker at Fanny's after Sugar Shack. I'd always go in there, she'd be at the corner of the bar, she'd be watching her people she hired needed help, she helped them. She was such a supporter of anybody that needed anything. Well, my life, oh my gosh. Well, first of all, it gave us a safe space, a place to dance and enjoy women. So any one of these women have a wonderful memory from there.
I'm Cindy Schumann. I flew in from Denver this morning just for this. I went to the Sugar Shack near the end of the Sugar Shack. That was the first gay bar I went into. And then Fanny's, that was like lifeblood. That was where I could be myself and be around people who were like me, and it was wonderful. Favorite memories of Sharon would have to be the time that these straight people came in the bar and started a fight, and Sharon, the fight rolled out into the street, and Sharon was out there with a starter pistol firing it in the air to scare them away.
Hello, I'm Karen Valentine. Today I had the pleasure of emceeing the Sharon Dixon benefit. I have known Sharon Dixon since I first came out way back in October of 1979. And she was kind of a rebel, if you will. She was one of the few women who had a bar, and a bar for a long, long time. And it was a successful bar. And at one time in Milwaukee, when I came out, there were like 22 gay bars in Milwaukee. 21 were owned by men. And she held her own, which was not easy for anybody. She had to be good to hold on that long, which isn't easy. And not only a good businesswoman, a good business person, but she held it, and she also saw to all the bar staff and their livelihoods, as well as the restaurants and everything else, and dealt with her competitors. But she was in the trenches of making sure that women and men and people had a bar to go to.
Hi, my name is Diana Jones. I'm gonna try and keep it together. Back when other organizations were lacking in the HIV momentum of getting help for our community, Sharon was one of the first on the bandwagon. She would shut down the whole street, the whole block, all the surrounding bars would join her, and we'd have big outdoor fundraiser variety shows. All the drag queens, dancers, singers, all of us would get together. And it feels really good to be here for her, because she gave so much to our community and just kept giving and loving everybody and made everyone feel welcome, made everyone know that they had somewhere safe to go and be. And that's why we're all here today for her.
Are you ready for her? Her name is Diana Jones!
Thank you, Sharon.
Producer Beatrice Lawrence brought us those moments from the fundraiser in tribute to Milwaukee LGBTQ bar owner and advocate Sharon Dixon. Thanks to Tyler Ditter for technical direction.